I guess what provoked us to initially look at this in the first case was the Plain Writing Act that was passed in October of 2010, and there's a deadline, which is actually this past October, to actually implement that. So what we did was we used automation software that Visible Thread, our company, produced, to crawl effectively 30 representative websites and rank them on a number of criteria. One was, for instance, if there was lengthy sentences involved, and that would be a sentence greater than 25 words.
Mm-hmm.
That was one aspect or dimension. Second might be the degree of passive language, and passive language is where you're putting the subject of the context before the verb. So effectively, if you say quality is monitored, that is passive, versus we monitor a quality, that is active. And we were rating on that. So we rated on four dimensions, including those two. And they are very, very interesting because they give you a very clear insight as to complexity or clarity of language.
Who's getting it right?
Great question. We always, of course, as a company, like to kind of give people a clap on the back as opposed to kind of knock people and so forth. So the top two that we found, and again, we rated 30 representative agencies and bureaus. Top was Bureau of Labor Stats. They had a very nice ranking. For instance, in their long sentence and passive area, they were scoring number 2 and number 7 respectively. Centers of Disease Control, fantastic result there, number 2 overall. And that's very interesting because they have a relatively complex subject matter which they're trying to communicate to people who are, you know, generally speaking, need information at a fairly readily available pace. So very nice results there. Bureau of Census coming in at number 3. And basically it kind of went down U.S. Geological Survey. One of the notable ones was NASA. Actually, it's interesting that you mentioned in your previous segment about NASA. They came in and joined 7th, which, you know, given the complex subject matter, was pretty interesting and actually a good result.
Is there ever any subject matter that does not lend itself to plain language and clear cognitive thinking when you are writing? Is there any? Because you mentioned CDC takes something very complex and boils it down. Bureau of Labor Statistics is not exactly what you'd call easy nighttime reading. So they were able to pull it off. Is there any subject matter that would not lend itself to something like plain language?
It is a subjective viewpoint, but I guess Einstein said it best when he said the art is actually making something simple. If you can't simplify something, you don't know your subject matter well enough. Now, that's paraphrasing the actual quote from Einstein, but fundamentally the answer would be no, there is no exclusion to this. There are vested interests who fight against it, so, you know, people who are overtly legalese in language. So if I, for instance, look at one of the examples we have here, you know, there's a statement that starts with notwithstanding, so this is a question which was duty to notify the NHTSA of non-compliance with a safety-related defect. So this is the Department of Motor Vehicles, and they open up with notwithstanding a certification of a product. And whenever you see notwithstanding or heretofore, you know that there's a potential for making something clearer.
It's also interesting that you say if there's so many words in a sentence, then all of a sudden, just automatically, it's not as clear as it could be.
I mean, the test really is, you know, there's a couple of kind of quick anecdotal tests. One, read the thing out loud. Two, would you find yourself communicating with a normal human being in that tone or that context? And particularly web content is very interesting in this fashion. A lot of people will take copy from a document and just simply blanket copy it into a web page. We have many, many examples of this in terms of our scans. And that is fundamentally not the way people read websites. So these days what you're finding is that the websites structurally are pretty good. We've got past that whole thing where you couldn't find what it was you're looking to do. Now the problem is the content itself. So I now land to a point on the site. I'm left with the need to call up somebody and spend valuable government resources because call centers have to be staffed and people have got to chase various aspects which are not clear enough and not communicated well enough so that it basically becomes an interaction with the government.
We're talking with Fergal McGovern, the CEO of Visible Thread. We're learning more about how some websites ranked in the federal government when it comes to plain language. I want to ask you something a little more philosophical, if you want to get into that for a moment with me, and that is why this is a problem in the first place. It seems like the easiest thing to do would be to write like you talk, but is it psychological that we want to sound smarter than we are, or is there some sort of, it seems endemic, not just to the federal government, but to other organizations?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, of course, the danger is whenever you ask a philosophical question, you may get a 20-minute philosophical answer. So I'll try and be brief.
Okay.
Human beings are human beings, and every one of us writes in a certain style or fashion. And indeed, our educational system tells us to write more. You know, we get rewarded for fancier words. We get rewarded for longer, more complex sentences. So in some sense, culturally, we're indoctrinated to not be that clear in terms of our own communication. Is there a way that we can sort this? I think the best way possible is by removing the subjectivity of the analysis and by introducing objective metrics. And if you look at simple things like long sentences and by passive language, for instance, then you at least can flag the issues. Now, if you so choose to address them, which the Plain Writing Act is encouraging us to do, and again, we're very supportive of that, then certainly the first point is understanding the information. The second point is, for instance, if I'm on the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services site and I go to the general information on immigration forms, I might get, a thing about fees and fee waiver information saying it is our policy that individuals may apply for and be granted a fee waiver for certain immigration benefits and service based on the inability to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Please consult blah, 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 blah for the completeness of the forms. So these are, you know, the audience here is not likely to have English necessarily as a first language. We're making something highly complex. So our job, from a point of view of a vendor offering solutions to help the feds, is to basically highlight these things. Hopefully, then the individual is tasked with making things clearer and having a better result is going to be actually in the hands of the feds. The question you asked, though, is interesting. If I come back to it, what is the motivation for this act in the first case? It's actually twofold. One, democracy is encouraged by better communication with citizens, and that sounds like a lofty goal.
Mm-hmm.
But the second one is very tangible. It's a cost-saving thing. For instance, the state of Washington, who implemented a program during the 2000s, in one particular case, were able to save $800,000 simply by rewriting a certain form for small businesses, and the ability for the small business to self-serve and to pay the tax was improved dramatically.
Uh-huh.
So there's very tangible savings that are possible through clarity and transparency in terms of communication.